True North, welcome to a long-awaited episode of our roundtable. I know it's been a while, but I'm here with Chuck.
Hey, guys.
Also with Pastor Jay as well.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, so again, it's been a while. I apologize, but before the year ended, it's been a crazy year for our jobs, for our lives, for our families, and moreover for church too. And I think with, you know, the holidays coming up, with Christmas coming up, and with the new year coming up too, the last roundtable, just kind of a small reflection on 2020 from all of us as your pastors on staff here at True North. Just kind of reviewing everything that happened. And at the end, we're going to kind of talk about what to look forward to in 2021 too with church. But yeah, it's been a wild year for all of us here. I'm sure even for you guys listening, working at home and whatever it may be, right? But one question I want to ask everyone here, you know, because we're all pastors, is we'll talk about highs and lows, I guess, of the year. But for you guys, what was the biggest, like, surprise of 2020, given everything that has happened? Of course, the pandemic, all these riots happening in the summer, racial justice being more pushed into our forefront. And I've probably missed 10 other things. But for you guys, what was the most surprising thing for church, maybe even your own lives in this past year?
Well, I think the thing that is in the forefront of my attention and my mind is because now I'm home 24/7 and my children are home 24/7. I spend so much time with them. And I think initially what really came as a shock, and I say this in the most negative way possible, is how low my threshold for me being around my kids were, you know. So which is interesting, and I think a lot of families with young children or even older kids, high school, middle school age, can probably resonate with what I'm saying, because none of us would ever say that family isn't the most important thing in our lives, right? Yeah. We would always say that family is the most important thing in our lives, and we would do almost anything for our children. And now here we are in a situation, something that we haven't experienced in 100 years as a world, right? A pandemic, yeah. Something very serious and dangerous, along with the political climate, not just in the United States, but globally. Mm-hmm. And we have the opportunity to minister to our children, to disciple our children, to love our children. And I found it more shocking about myself that the biggest challenge for me was that I had to be around my kids. You know what I mean? If you think about it, that really kind of speaks into the disconnect between what we say we value and what we actually value. That was pretty surprising for me.
It's almost like COVID has exposed and, like, I guess put our money where our mouth is with a lot of things too. Like, even spiritually too, for a lot of us, you know, if you're listening at True North, we thought we were, like, spiritual, or we thought, like, oh yeah, like, I'm close to God. But I think, look, the pandemic sucks and being at home sucks, but ultimately it's a lot of time for yourself and, if we're honest, with God. But for a lot of us, including, I think we can all say ourselves, like, it's hard. And it's just like, oh man, you realize maybe where you're at spiritually really during this pandemic and a lot of other things. But yeah, I think Jay brings up a good point. Chuck, anything else you'd want to add?
Yeah, I'm going to add on to that. Just the focus being more intrinsic. I feel like I have never been so, alone with my thoughts and the things that I'm, have been dealing with emotionally and mentally. And so for me, it was actually a good time. God really brought out a lot of things that I've just, pushed away or put under the rug, and like he just really pressed on my heart to deal with these things because now I have the time. I can, really, really hear what he has to say. I think another surprising thing is Swan and I, we were in our first year of marriage, and we thought, this is going to be great, but, no one ever told us, like, first year of marriage is pretty dang hard. And even for us, we had to really flesh out our our selfishness and sinfulness, just being stuck in our tiny apartment and having to talk and deal with things just really early on. So it was a huge blessing in disguise for us. And, you know, not to say everything's, you know, perfect, and we're going strong into 2021.
If I would add anything on my own, I think everything that Jay and Chuck mentioned, true in my life too. I like, one positive surprise is how resilient people are, I think.
Yeah, like, true.
I don't know, like, when you think about it, March seems like a long time ago, but it isn't that long when this started, you know? It's only like, I'm bad at math, like 8 months, or like 8-9 months, right?
Yeah.
And within that time period, I think we've all adjusted it to just be like, yeah, this is life, and like kind of accepted it. I've seen it at church, like people adjusting to community groups, like on Zoom. I think me and Jay were talking about, like, we were so worried, like, dude, that's going to be so draining. But even that it's going, and like the resiliency and the flexibility of people at church has been a big blessing. Yeah, and just like normal life, like, I, you know, the surge is happening, you know, hospital beds are losing that. I mean, a lot of spaces are not available, and, you know, we want to be careful and pray for that and be wise. But even given all that, like, the fact that it's like we've accepted this, like, hey, this is what life is, and a lot of us are kind of moving forward as best as we can, I found it really surprising, just observing, I guess, people and their tendencies. But it's been a crazy year, and, you know, full of surprises. And I think one thing I wanted to ask you guys, especially, you know, for a lot of us listening, for a lot of those listening that are part of True North, two big questions, right? What, in your guys' mind, you know, Chuck as an education pastor, Jay as a lead pastor, what's been the biggest challenge for True North, you feel like, in the past year? I'll ask that first, and then secondly after that, I'll ask what was the biggest blessing, actually, this year for True North. But for you guys, you know, in your own perspective roles and responsibilities as pastors here in different ways, yeah, what was the biggest challenge for you guys pastoring, whether True North Education in 2020?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is, number one, our church is still very young. You know, I mean, we officially launched October of 2016. Mm. Many of the people that are with us, I mean, there's still a good number of people that, you know, it was part of our launch team that are still with us. But at the size that we are now, the majority of the people have either only been with us for a year, maybe two, you know, like the veterans are like 2 years in. And if you think about that, and, you know, the average person attends church maybe 35, maybe 40 times a year, you know, you take a veteran and that's, you know, only 80 Sundays, you know, that they may have been a part of our church.
Yeah.
So just seeing that, you know, what I felt was such great momentum for a church plant. You know, just our ability, or the pace at which we were learning and growing, then having to really just kind of put all that to a complete stop, what was a very big challenge, you know. And I think initially people felt the disconnect, you know, I mean it's easy to reach out to lifelong friends or family during a pandemic, but you know, like, how do you navigate not overstepping boundaries to somebody you just met last year? You know, like, who you get along with, you feel close to, but there isn't that, like, deep history in a relationship, which I think was probably a challenging, not only for myself, but for the people at our church. But I think kind of a big picture challenge was seeing how this pandemic really put a stop to the evangelical Christian system, and, you know, like the machine that we are so used to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, you know, and sometimes it's like telling a fish that they're in water, right? Or like, you kind of don't know, right? Because you're so immersed in it. But there is a man-made system in which we've operated this quote-unquote religion of Christianity that has kind of turned into this its own monster in the last like 70-80 years, right? This idea of mega churches, or, you know, churches of a certain size, and like the division of small, you know, like, and kind of dismantling that entire system and kind of trying to get to the heart of God in scripture to see, like, well, what is the main imperative here as Christians when some of these avenues of worship that we were so used to, right? Like, I mean, we were taught growing up, a good Christian goes to church on every Sunday, you know? And like, and if we no longer can physically attend church, then what does Christianity, what does the Church of Jesus Christ look like, you know? So, and how do we divide, or how do we distinguish what is an imperative from God's word and what is the human cultural system of religion that we've placed or we've made, you know? So that was a very big challenge, and someone I'm still wrestling with.
Yeah, no, I to kind of go off of that, in my role as the associate, I think, you know, Jay's vision or Jay's main responsibility is casting that vision that he's talking about, figuring out what that water should be at True North. And I think for me, like, executing that, like, it's been crazy because, like, Chuck, Jay and I know, like, we would have plans, because back before the pandemic, we would plan for things so far ahead in confidence, like, oh, we got this, and as long as we do these things, like, we'll be good, and we'll have, like, a good vision, and whatever it may be. But the fact that, like, every month we would plan something, and then something happens, like, a new order, a new surge, or even the summer with George Floyd's death, like, that being thrown into our face, right? Yeah. Not thrown into our face, but having to deal with the reality of racial injustice in America finally is, like, man, just, like, one thing that I've been challenged by is, like, we've been really, like, confident that our vision is what's going to run the church, if that makes sense. And kind of what Jay's going off of, I do feel like it's making us realize this pandemic that, like, the main vision of the church is to care for its members and to bring other people to Christ, and like, just realizing that has been a challenge, but, you know, we'll get into a blessing too. And I just hope that you guys know, listening, like, if it looks like we're switching plans like every week, it's like, it's because we are. We're just trying to, like, keep our head above water. Yeah. And I remember I told Jay, like, you know, I'd feel more guilty if we were the only church doing this, but every church that we've talked to, that we've seen, is kind of in the same boat, which I see as, like, oh, this is a bigger wake-up call to the church, kind of what Jay mentioned. So, yeah. Chuck, how about you? I know your perspective is really nuanced, and I think interesting too, because you're dealing with our students, our kids, and the kind of the future of True North and just the church. What's it been like for you, like, the biggest challenge? Because I know that sounds crazy. And shout out to Chuck. Like, his education worship services are better than our worship services.
Oh, amen.
But I don't want to go that far, guys.
There has been a percentage of evangelism happening in the True North education.
For sure. Oh, more than our Sunday service. No,
when I walk by my kids' screens, I go, who's that? Like, whose kid is that? You know,
like, new members every week.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Man, no, it's actually been a huge blessing. Speaking on behalf of our education and our kids, like, the biggest challenge was really getting the idea that church is a body and really not a building that we go to every Sunday. Because I don't blame the kids. This is how we all kind of grew up. But in these circumstances, it just, yeah, this really, you know, blew up in everybody's lives, especially the kids. So it was like, it was trying to teach the kids how to do worship at home, how to do church at home. And this is not something new for us. We really wanted to teach and educate our families how to do that. But we had to really expedite the process with our kids. And so, and for me personally, it wasn't just the social distancing, but it was the relational distancing from these kids. So like you brought up social injustice, you know, like it's something that we can talk, you know, face to face with them and really have conversations and discussions if they had questions about it. But, you know, being at home, being in front of a screen, it can become very impersonal. It's harder to build relationships and discipleship with the kids when we're when there's physical distance. And so that was really challenging for us. But and I'll get into the successes in the next question. But yeah, we really faced a huge uphill battle. It felt like constantly every week, you know, it felt terrible not being able to have Easter egg hunts and activities. How do you do crafts with the kids during Bible studies or games or activities? A huge part of our ministry. It's not just me talking or preaching up there. It's a very interactive ministry at True North, and the kids, that's what the kids loved and were used to. So we had to really adapt, let me tell you.
Yeah. Chuck's low-key good at dropping these words that stick. I like when you say relational distancing. Ugh. I do feel like that also, which sparked my mind, is a big challenge for a church. That I think True North, especially with the younger crowd and probably even the kids too, like a lot of their spiritual health was dependent on relationships. And that's not a bad thing. But I think having that removed, you know, you can only get so much out of a Zoom screen hours and hours on. So I think that's another big challenge that we faced. And with that though, I do think there's been some like sneaky blessings, maybe even more apparent blessings for our church in this past year. You know, just quick things that are coming to my mind, like I guess we can be honest about this, like our giving hasn't gone down, which I find to be one, a huge blessing and a huge testament to our members of like understanding what church is. Like I mentioned before, if COVID is exposing a lot of things, I think one thing that hasn't been exposed is that our members actually know what the church is, that this didn't falter them, which I'm really blessed by. But yeah, for you guys too, I guess from a bigger point of view, like what's been the biggest blessing for True North in your own perspective roles?
Yeah, you know, recently I was listening to a leadership podcast by a pastor named Kerry Newhoff, and he was interviewing William Vanderblumen, and he is a church consultant. And one of the things that they were discussing was just about, you know, church in this COVID times and kind of like what to expect because of what's happening in our world. And one of the things that they mentioned was the pastoral role. So for those that may not know kind of like these theological jargons, there's three offices of Jesus Christ. It's the prophet, priest, and king. And oftentimes in pastoral ministry, they talk about these three different roles and how pastors oftentimes are gifted more in one area than the other. So like the prophetic gift is the ability to, you know, to preach and teach. The kingly gift is, you know, the your leadership ability, you know, organizational, visionary, and the priestly role is really the, you know, kind of like the shepherding and ministry and loving people. And one of the things that they mentioned was that currently and post pandemic, the role that is going to be most needed in the church, not only from pastors but from its members, is really the priestly role. This idea that, you know, like Pastor Chuck mentioned, you know, we've been relationally distancing for so long, that the desire to shepherd and be shepherded, to minister and to be ministered to, is really going to be the main thirst for a lot of people. And so one of the biggest blessings that I've noticed, because, I mean, you know, we're a church of 250 attendees, 300 if you count kids. Like, there's no way three pastoral staff can, you know, shepherd 100 people each, right? Yep. But the biggest blessing I saw was that, you know, even through social media or just through conversations I've had or just testimonies, is the amount of people who have been shepherding one another in their little pods. You know, one of the biggest blessings was you know, one of our elders in training, you know, Pom Kim. You know, I mean, if you know Pom, you know, he has like this, you know, grumpy face, and like, you know, you might think he's like not approachable, and like, even if you have like just he doesn't do small talk, right? You know, like he might give you like, you know, grunts or one word answers. He'll you know, I mean, he's a great conversationalist when you talk about something that he's really into, right? But you know, one of the things that we were doing with our elder trainees before COVID was and some of us were doing this as well, we were you know, kind of leading these little small groups of people for really just kind of learning and diving into the word, right? And you know, months into the pandemic, I find out that him and his group have been meeting weekly still. Mm-hmm. You know, like from the very beginning. And he reached out to me because he's like, hey, you know, some of these guys that, you know, we've been in this group with, they're ready to branch out and form their own groups. Yeah. And that's when I found out, like, wow, you know, like, even though there are days and weeks where I just felt handcuffed, like, I, like, you know, God, like, how can I minister and shepherd all these people that I don't see anymore? And yet, the priesthood of all believers really showed, you know, in how people have been reaching out to one another, ministering yeah. to one another, you know, and, I mean, that was really a cool blessing.
Yeah. I, you know, speaking for the pastors, I think we're most blessed when, like, we hear of these stories. Because, like, I've heard of that, too, of just, like, even Bible studies starting on their own. Like, I know, you know, shout out to Young, I think Hannah, Alan, and some others. Like, they do, you know, they did one Bible study in the beginning of pandemic. I was just like, oh, you know,
yeah.
they're just doing it because the pandemic started. And they emailed me again, like, last week saying, oh, we've been doing it again.
And yeah.
Like, oh, that's crazy. And it's, like, more people. So this organic ministry that our members are doing without us, I think it's a humble reminder to, like, all of us that, like, you know, we're freaking out, which we should, because we're trying to guide as best we can. But, like, I think also God reminding us, like, oh, hey, like, it's not just on your guys' shoulders, which we're really encouraged and blessed by. But, yeah, Chuck, what about you? Any blessings on your end?
Yeah, I mean, you guys mentioned resilience, and that's really what I think about when I think about our kids at True North. You know, we freaked out when this pandemic started, and you know, trying to figure out how to do ministry and how to you know, keep our relationship with these kids and to, you know, grow them spiritually. But, you know, I mean, these kids are so tough, and they're resilient, they're smart. You know, they have their relationship with God and with their families and church, and so it's been a huge blessing to see that. You know, it's only natural for us to worry. We freak out and worry. It's not natural for us to have faith and trust God in these situations. So that's kind of our first knee-jerk reaction, is to worry. But I, you know, when you stop worrying and you kind of just see that things are fine, things are great, the kids are learning, there's no drop in attendance, they're not distracted or unfocused. They're a lot more focused, and you can see their growth happening even during this time. I think for me personally, another blessing is that we're able to create a youth group. It's kind of possible to be in two places at once now, you know, to have a youth group, to have a separate ministry for our youth. And, you know, that's one of our goals for this coming year in 2021, is to really build up our youth group and give them bring an identity to them and disciple them. And for me personally, through this pandemic and through everything that you guys mentioned, there's just been an appreciation of our church people. You know, there's an appreciation mm-hmm. of our teachers. You know, when you just see them working, even through this pandemic, everyone's trying their best, you know. But on Sundays, you just kind of expect them to do what, you know, they're doing as volunteers. But, you know, being in this pandemic, everyone's been stepping up, the teachers. There's a greater appreciation for our volunteers, our True North, for our community groups. And just like the people that you guys brought up, just organically having Bible study, there's just been a greater, and for you guys too, a greater appreciation for you guys too. I mean, I don't know about the rest of True North, but it's a lot harder to people please when you're, you know, behind the screen. You know, it's mm-hmm. there's less pressure, and there's more ingenuity to, like, serve God, you know, and just take time out of your day or your work to spend time with kids or with one another, to commit to community groups. So I think for me personally, there's just so much respect and appreciation towards a lot of our church members.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree to that. If I would only add one thing, is I've been blessed with, I feel like members of our church, and I think just kind of overall in America, more Christians finally, because I really think because of this pandemic, having to actually think out and work out things about life and how that relates to faith, whether that be, you know, with George Floyd, racial justice, whether that be with politics, with the upcoming, you know, this past election, I've felt this need. I think because like people are just stuck at home and they're just in their thoughts, and they have to, whether they like it or not, think about these things that they can't be distracted from before. Mm. You know, even when George, you know, I remember someone mentioning like, would the reaction of George Floyd's death have happened without the pandemic? I don't know. I think the fact that we're all at home and watching that clip over and over again and sharing it, whatever it may be, kind of sparked that. So I've been really blessed by that. That, you know, that we're having to just think about life in a critical and Christ-centered way, and actually doing it rather than just thinking about it, if that makes sense. And, you know, it's not always the same conclusion that I get, or that we get. You know, even for me, I led a politics and faith seminar. I was like, I wonder how many people show up, but, you know, over like 45 signed up. And for everyone that was there, it was like, oh, not everyone agreed, but just them thinking about it critically with scripture in hand was a blessing that, oh, I think our members are actually having to think critically about things in life, and whether it be family, race, justice, crisis, there's a way to kind of fit, not there's a way, but there's a way to look at it through Christ's lens. So I'm really blessed by that, and I hope we can continue to grow as a church in that too. And one of the last questions I want to ask you guys is, I think, you know, if we're honest, we don't want it to be, but this virtual church stuff is going to happen for a little longer. You know, if we're honest too, and you know, maybe until fall of 2021, if you know, the vaccine works and whatever it may be, but whatever it is, it's going to be here for a while. And one question I want to ask each of you guys individually is this, for a lot of us listening, I know, you know, I'm going to be blunt, Facebook and YouTube pre-recorded sermons, they're not cutting it, which we understand. It's a medium that's not supposed to be there. I think right now, Hebrews 10, the verse of, I think verse 22, when we're supposed to call to meet one another, kind of is hitting me so much stronger than ever before. So we understand that. But given that too, that, hey, you know, we'll get into what we're trying to do in the future. But given that it's going to be virtual and socially distanced and COVID is still here for a little bit, two questions I want to ask you guys is, how can we stay connected to the church during these times? And how can we stay connected to God during these times as well?
You know, I think with that first question of how can we stay connected to our church, there is the typical answer that you would hear from a church staff, right? Which is, you know, continue to join our Sunday services virtually, join a community group. You know, which I think those are all necessary avenues. The people who aren't feeling connected usually are the people who are not coming to service or community group, right? And so it almost seems like the answer is, well, then come to service and community group. But there's a reason why they've chosen not to do that. I would say, man, this is tough, but, you know, one of the things that we have all participated in during this pandemic is we have created little pods, people that we do see in person, probably not as regularly or intimately as we did before, but there are people that we have chosen to create as part of our pods. Mm-hmm. And if you are feeling less connected, that you would be the one to take the initiative to reach out to somebody to be a part of your pod, right? Mm-hmm. Or the ones that are feeling in, like they're already in pods, you know, like spread the love, right? think about the peripheral people who you've thought about before but haven't thought too deeply about. See if somehow they can join your pod, you know, like, one person that, you know, I think I do want to kind of mention as a positive example of that is Fred Hyun. You know, he's really into fitness, and so when the pandemic hit, he, like, you know, he bought a rack, he bought, you know, like a 45-pound bar, he bought, like, you know, hundreds of weights, you know, like all these things, and he reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to work out, you know, and like during the summer when things were a lot better, like he started reaching out to a bunch of people, and he basically created his own gym, you know, like it's really his CrossFit gym, and unlicensed, and he doesn't charge, so I don't want him to get in trouble, but I just really saw somebody who decided that this was a good thing to actually meet in person and do some very wise, socially distant, mask on, you know, exercise.
Yeah.
And if it was me, I'd have been like, okay, hey, four people is enough, and like, let's just keep, you know, like, but like, man, he started adding different types of people that I would never thought. He created a text thread, and then he moved it over to a Kakao thread, you know, like, and I think you kind of just see that heart of wanting to really reach out and minister and shepherd, and I think that's one way that you can stay connected, you know. Especially to, if you're already connected, to feel connected to the people who might feel disconnected.
I think being present and active is so important. I think the pandemic has given us every excuse to be lazy, to binge all of our shows, to, you know, give it every excuse just to do nothing. But I think it really does expose, like, that, you know, we're bad witnesses, we're bad friends, we're not being a good witness for Christ. I just think presence is a huge part of staying connected to the church. I mean, it's so easy for us to be plugged into our phones. But, you know, I would just challenge a church to be more plugged in, more than ever, just to be plugged into each other's lives, and especially your kids, and to reach out. Always just, you know, like, it's easy to really examine your struggles and yourself, but, you know, there's someone, just your next door neighbor, having it just as hard as you are, or someone within your household. So, you know, surprisingly, one of the blessings and one thing that has been encouraging me is we have Hera. She's only in third grade, but she's been one of the kids that actually just emails me, and she'll just ask generic questions like, hey, when is the Halloween party? I'm like, you know, you know, or it's very formal. You're like, dear pastor, like, you know,
that's so, it's so awesome.
And she emailed me yesterday, when is the Christmas party? Is it Friday or Saturday? Please reply, you know. But, you know, I learned from her, because she's making every effort to just reach out to me, even if it's just a generic question. Actually, in this recent email, she asked me, how are you? And how is Mrs. Park? So, and
that is too cute.
Too cute. And I reply very formally too. Yes, dear, you know, Miss Hera, Mrs. Park is doing great. You know, so it reminds me to stay connected with our people, just to plug in, you know, with each other. You just have to do it. We just have to do the work and make the effort to be active, to be present, to be a witness, at the expense of at the much great expense of all the time that we have right now to do that.
Yeah, and you know, you've already binged all your shows. It's like 10 months in, right? If you're listening, so.
Okay, hey, no joke. There's nothing left for me to watch.
Like,
I'm like, should I watch this show again for the fourth time? You know, like.
Yeah, man. Like, I caught myself, like, on YouTube rewatching a bunch of clips that I've already watched 100 times, right? Just to kill time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh man, like you've watched everything you could, right? You've eaten every fast food restaurant around you, then you tried it all.
But, literally, just, you've tried every recipe, you've tried every new fad, you know?
Yep. The coffee is over, all that stuff's over. And to cap it all off with the church question, like, don't wait on us as a church. You know, we're trying to provide as many opportunities as possible, but we're so limited. And I really think right now, and we already touched on this, better than us doing something, it's so much more powerful if you're listening and you're like, man, I feel disconnected, like, then do something. You know, like, you know, I David's a brother, our worship leader, he bikes, and he's like, yeah, who wants to bike with me? And then he grabbed a couple people and went biking, and I was like, yeah, just do something with the people around us that God has placed us with. And I think community always forms out of that. It doesn't just fall into your lap. And I think this pandemic is showing us, like, you can't find community. The only way to do it is to build it. And there's so many ways to do it right now, as hard as it may be. So we encourage you to do that if you're listening. And I guess to just end it, how can we stay connected to God spiritually? Like Jay mentioned, and this is me speaking honestly as a pastor here, we're trying our best to provide everything we can with virtual worship, but we know it falls short of this actual Sabbath Sunday physically being there. I think there's a book called Analog Church that a friend wrote, and his premise, he wrote it right before the pandemic, and it came out in the middle of the pandemic. But his premise of the church was, it can't be digital. It has to be physical, which I think now more than ever, everyone agrees with. And given that fact, what are some ways you could encourage our church members, for Chuck and Jay, to stay connected to God spiritually for this next year, for however long this may last?
You know, one of the things that I think the pandemic has really kind of collisioned into people's brains and hearts is that our relationship with God is really holistic. You know, it can't be compartmentalized, which I think in the previous, you know, before COVID, you know, BCV, right? Before COVID, it was very easy for you to trick yourself into thinking that you had a relationship with God because you went to church every Sunday, because you served in some sort of ministry. You know, God really kind of took all that out of the picture, and he's reminding us that our relationship with him, especially if we're, you know, truly, you know, the disciples of Christ, that he is the Lord of every part of our lives, not just our Sunday and Wednesday nights. So I think part of understanding, or part of how we can stay connected to God, is really think about holistically different avenues of our lives our life has changed, but our lives haven't stopped, right? Our kids are still going to school. You know, some of them are still participating in some sort of extracurricular activity. You know, we're still going to work. We're still going to the market. You know, we're still interacting with retailers, DoorDash delivery people. You know, like, how can we, you know, utilize this time to really figure out what it means to be disciples of God emotionally, occupationally, you know, as neighbors, as our, you know, children or parents, or, you know, so there's, I think, looking at Christianity not just as a doctrine or something that we believe and then follow on Sundays, but something that we actually live out. I think that is the way to stay connected to God.
Yeah. I've been reading a book with someone recently, and his name is Mike Cosper, that he wrote it. And one thing he wrote, which stood out to me now, and he wrote this obviously before COVID, he said, if Sunday is the only day like you meet God, then there's no way that church can sustain you, because that's not how it's designed to be. Church is actually here to equip you to go back out, to live in a disciplistic way, to worship. One thing he points out in the book, which is called Rhythms of Grace, which I hope, it's impossible, but I hope our church could all read. He says, worship doesn't end on Sunday, it's every day. And Sunday is more of a time to come to be recharged, to worship again from Monday to Saturday. So with Jay's advice too, I really hope that kind of takes heed for a lot of us that, again, in COVID, life has changed, but it hasn't at the end of the day. We're still Western people living in our Western digital Uber Eats. You know, we're still doing what we got to do. So think of that holistically. And, you know, if you are struggling spiritually, don't be alone. Like, let it be known. Tell your community group. If you're new, like, feel free to, I know it might be a daunting task, but feel free to message any of us, Chuck, Pastor Jay, myself. You can find our emails on the website too. And we will help you as much as possible too, because we're here for that too. So don't be alone and in isolation if you feel disconnected.
Mine's going to be a churchy answer, but it's just to stay connected with God. It's just to fight for your time with Him, you know. And I think I would add, but also have a plan. You know, I get so shocked that, you know, most people don't go in with a plan. Like, there's I think most of us don't, but even Swan and I, we on Sundays we have to plan out how we're gonna have worship, and not, you know, by putting our phones in our room, you know, so we don't get distracted. We have a plan, you know, just to stay focused, you know. So I would say fight for your time by having a plan every Sunday, every day. It helps us stay focused without getting distracted. And maybe the second thing is just, with all this time that we do have, I guess, with ourselves, with our thoughts, with our emotions, I ask yourselves the hard questions. I think it's a good time to really ask, do I really need God in my life? You know, sometimes, I think more, we don't realize enough how comfortable where we are in our life and how we're living. And it's hard to fight for something, the need for something, if you don't want it. And sometimes I really have to think and meditate, like, am I desperate for God right now? Do I need Him? And a lot of the times the answer is no. I can provide for myself. There's a lot of, you know, and nothing really traces back to God. It just kind of traces back to what I can do for myself. And there's no humility in that. There's no connecting with God in that. And so it'll be tough for us to connect with Him if there's no need for Him. So I would recommend those two things. Yeah.
And if you're a parent with an age-appropriate child, Pastor Chuck will
I'm scared.
Zoom.
Oh yeah, I actually offer that. Yeah, I actually offer that. I can just sit and watch a movie with them if they want.
Have your kids be discipled as you share a movie with your spouse.
No, office hours are 24/7. So
But yeah, hey, thanks for listening, everyone. This is our last kind of roundtable for the year. Like we all mentioned, it's a crazy year. Let's pray that 2021, the tides turn, and everything gets a little better. But even if not, as a church, I hope and we can be encouraged to stay faithful to each other and to God ultimately. So thanks for listening. And hopefully next year will be better. Have a great, happy New Year's.
Hey, stay safe, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Wear your masks.
Yeah, amen.